Father God, speak to us now, we pray, through your Spirit, from your word. Amen. Please do sit down. A number of years ago, I was watching a drama on television. I can't really remember much about what it was about, but I just remember one bit towards the end where the particular main character, the hero, if you like, in the programme, made a comment about something that had happened. They criticised the work of a well-meaning vicar as being rather naive. What was that vicar doing? Well, the vicar was organising shipments of Bibles to go out to Africa. And the comment was made, what they really need out there is food, not Bibles. So as far as that drama was concerned, the vicar had got it all wrong. He'd got his priorities wrong. And I think we see that sometimes because many people are quite happy with Christianity when it does good works in the community. And of course we should. What they don't like is when we start preaching Jesus, and particularly how we should give everything to him. They find that quite offensive. Many people are quite happy with Jesus keeping him at arm's length, regarding him as a good teacher. But to fall down and worship at his feet and give him everything, well, the comment might be, why don't you Christians just get on with your good works? Please stop preaching. I think we see something of this attitude in our second Bible reading, John chapter 12. It might be handy if you had that open. It was on page 1079. What we first noticed in verse 1 is the scene being set. 6 days before the Passover. As people who are aware of the story, that is a big signpost. Jesus is going to be dying in a few days' time. And he's approaching Jerusalem and he gets to Bethany. In the previous chapter, in verse 18, we hear that Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. So Jesus is heading in at Passover time, he's heading towards his death. But as he arrives in Bethany, nobody's thinking about that. They're wanting to party with Jesus. Why is that? Well, again, in the previous chapter, Jesus was in Bethany and he did a remarkable thing. Before we get to that remarkable thing, he made a promise to both Mary and Martha, whom he loved and they loved him. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Jesus promises eternal life, particularly here to Mary and to Martha. He then goes on, and remember, their brother Lazarus, who they've been grieving over, has been dead for 4 days, and Jesus raises him from the dead. So they are reunited. But let's remember that raising him from the dead is just another sign that those who believe in Jesus will one day be raised for eternity. This is the Christian hope. In response to all of this then, it's no surprise they want to party. Jesus is back in Bethany having made these remarkable promises, having raised Lazarus from the dead, and how do they respond? Well, dear Martha, true to form, starts serving. That's how she liked to give. But Mary does something extraordinary. And maybe I should have kept my visual aid from before, because we had a jar holding a pint of water, just to show you the quantity. Mary brings this jar full of nard. It is very expensive perfume. In fact, we find out how expensive it is. Remember from the reading how expensive it is? A year's wages. So, another quiz question. What is the average salary in the UK for last year? It's about £28,000, depending which calculation you use. Think about that. Perfume worth £28,000 and it's poured on somebody's feet. A response from somebody watching to this is, this is ridiculous. That could have been sold, the money given to the poor. Ever thought that? I have. When I was a teenager, I first came across this story. I thought, surely Jesus would have preferred that. £28,000 going to a charity? Wow! We gave that to the food bank, they would be ecstatic. But Jesus commends Mary. Jesus was a humble man, but in this instance he says, do you know, actually I am worth it. And she's preparing my body for its burial, where I'm going to give my life for the world, where I'm going to give everything to the world. Not only is Jesus responsible for our creation, he's responsible for saving us from death and hell. Surely what Mary does is therefore appropriate, giving everything to Jesus. I think many people often will say something, and there may be a point in it. The money could have been used for the poor. But you can see that Judas is actually criticised. He wasn't really interested in the poor. He was just making an objection. And I think we find that a lot, actually, don't we? When people come up with an objection to Christianity, sometimes it's genuine and they need to work through it. I had a lovely conversation on Thursday afternoon with somebody, and she's got very genuine questions about Christianity. She's saying, how can I believe this is true? We talk about it, and she's listening, she's interested. But sometimes you have a conversation, and the person you're speaking to isn't interested. They're just making excuses and trying to score points against you. It's okay to come with genuine questions, but sometimes we just make excuses. We have a response from Mary and Martha of worship and service and giving to Jesus. We have a response from Judas of making excuses. There's a further response in the passage in verse 10. The chief priests now not only want to kill Jesus, they want to kill Lazarus. The religious people who should be welcoming Jesus are just jealous and they want to get rid of him. With what attitude shall we approach Jesus? One of excuses? One of just trying to get rid of him because he's inconvenient and doesn't fit in with our preconceived ideas? Or shall we be more like dear Mary? What an act of devotion. She knows that Jesus has come as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's come as the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He's come to die on our behalf so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. When we truly recognise who Jesus is, the Lord of the universe, and realise what he has done for us, well, surely, even a year's wages is more than worth it. In our earlier service, and I should have kept these props because they're quite powerful, had Bryony come up with an offering. And we opened up the offering, and this represents what we tend to give to God. And it wasn't meant to be insulting, it's just meant to be factual. It was the remains of a sandwich, just the crust. The point is, what do we do with what we have? Well, we consume enough, more than enough for ourselves, and then there's some leftovers, the crust. And then we think, we don't even give that to Jesus, we break off a portion of what's left over and give that to him. What a far cry from Mary's act of devotion. £28,000 of perfume. She recognised who her Saviour was and who her Lord was. The Bible says, bring your first fruits to God. And the challenge really is, do we bring our first fruits and trust God to look after us? Or do we just give him a portion of the leftovers after we've consumed all we can? Many will criticise true gospel ministry using fine-sounding arguments like, what about the poor? But we need to realise that gospel ministry, distributing Bibles, making Jesus known, because he is worthy, is our priority. And falling at his feet and giving him our all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, is appropriate. Let's take a moment of silence and ask the Holy Spirit to draw us to the Lord Jesus in devotion and worship. Father God, you created the world and you sent your Son, your only Son, into the world to make yourself known to us, to draw us to yourself, and he laid down his life for us, his sheep. What a cost you have paid for us. Lord, help us to give you the first fruits of what we have, knowing that you will look after us. Help us to stop giving you the leftovers, but to make you and your mission in the world a priority. Amen.